RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and Use in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahman Afus, the headlines. President Joko Widodo to visit the residents eating animal food in NTT province. Indonesia leans on Singapore for maritime sector investment. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo is scheduled to visit Kupang, East Nusa Tenggara, NTT province on Friday afternoon. The military commander of 161st Wira Sakti Kupang Brigade Heri Wirantes, quoted by Kompas on Friday, said that he is currently preparing the arrival of the president by holding VVIP securing ceremony and a coordination meeting with the governor of NTT and the head of regional communication forum. In his walking visit to Kupang, NTT President Joko Widodo will ride at El Tari Airport between 5 p.m. or 8:30 p.m. local time. On Saturday, the president is scheduled to monitor the construction of Dant Ragnamo in Kupang district. Besides, the president also plans to visit the South Amananuban and Kualin sub-district and the district of South Central Timur, which are recently have acquired filler. Indonesian government is angling for greater investment in the country's maritime sector from Singapore, its biggest source of FDI, as President Joko Widodo prefers to visit the city-state next week. There is a lot of interest in the maritime industry from Singapore, especially in Batam, Bintan, and Karimun Islands. Asar Lubis, the deputy chairman of Indonesian Investment Coordinating Board, said after a bilateral meeting in Jakarta on Tuesday. He noted 60% to 70% of Singapore investment in Indonesia went to those islands, about an hour's boat ride from Singapore, and that Indonesian government wanted to see more investment in other regions of the country. Singapore was the biggest source of foreign direct investment in Indonesia last year, accounting for $1.2 billion over overall $5.83 billion in FDI in the country last year. Asar said that BKPM would phone a special team to guide Singaporean companies through the tangle of red tape that typically stymies investors there and open up access to remote areas. He said the meeting with Singaporean officials on Tuesday was in preparation for President Joko Widodo's state visit to Singapore next Tuesday. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has expressed hope that all political parties will contribute towards ensuring the success of simultaneous regional head election on December 9th. Head of the presidential communication team, Teten Mas Duki, said in a press statement received in Jakarta on Tuesday that in a limited cabinet meeting held in the afternoon, President Joko Widodo remarked that all political parties should be able to participate in the elections. He has urged the General Election Commission, KPU, and the government to help complete ridden parties find solution to their problems. President Joko Widodo also asked the Coordinating Minister for Political, Security and Legal Affairs, the Minister of Justice and Human Rights, the Minister of Home Affairs and the KPU to help Golkar Party and United Development Party find the best solution to their issues so that their cadres can take part in the election. In addition, the President emphasized the importance of detecting potential problems earlier, regardless how small they may be, so they can identify ways to settle them. Indonesian rupiah's year-long fluctuating exchange value against the US dollar is still normal. The central bank can anticipate it. This was stated by Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economy, Sofian Jalil. The rupiah's fluctuation is still normal and it will not be a major problem, the minister noted in Jakarta on Tuesday. He made the assurance that the central bank is constantly monitoring the fluctuation in rupiah's exchange rate that is currently around 13,000 rupiah per US dollar and is still not a matter of concern. However, Mr. Sopan affirmed that the currency tends to be undervalued due to its constant weakening against the US dollar. Moreover, the global currency is now affected by the strengthening of the US dollar due to the recovery in the US economy. Mr. Sopian added that despite this, many people have said the rupiah is undervalued and it is the result of several uncertain factors such as the unfinished crisis in Greece and the condition of the US economy also affecting the global currency. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian government has fought to slow rupiah slide against the US dollar, saying recent volatility was common thing and dismissing any significant impacts on Indonesia's economy. The rupiah traded at 13,394 to the dollar on Tuesday, down 7.67% for the year and plummeting its lowest level since August 1998. Indonesian government should not exaggerate this problem, but the central bank will try to get the rupiah an acceptable range in accordance with its fundamentals. Minister Sopan Jal, Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economy, told reporters in Jakarta on Thursday. He said the weakening rupiah was caused by external sentiment and did not reflect any weakness in Indonesian economy. Meanwhile, Agus Martowardoyo, the Bank Indonesian governor, said the real effective exchange rate of rupiah was likely undervalued, which he claimed make Indonesia more competitive against its trade partner. The central bank said it would not try to keep the rupiah in a certain level, but only to slow the decline. Forest fires have continued to happen in Jambi province, with a NOAA satellite detecting 22 hotspots on Thursday. Two hotspots had been detected in state forests in West Tanjung Jabung and Tabor Regencies. This was stated by Jambi Forest Office Head Irmansyah Rahman. He added that 7 of the hotspots are in Tebu, 5 in Muara Jambi, 3 in East Tanjung Jabung, 3 in Sarolangun, and 1 in Merangin. Batan Hari and Bungo, a team that has gone to the field to inspect the situation. Irmansyah added, the detected hotspots are located in forested areas, plantations, farms, and in community and state forests, he said. Irmansyah also urged residents living close to peatland to refrain from carelessly throwing cigarette butts because peatland is highly flammable. Head of the Indonesian Investment Coordinating Board, BKPN, Frankie Sibarani, submitted that investment plans in Indonesia, both from foreign and domestic investors, increased by 39.6% for the first half of 2015. The increase, according to Frankie, reached 712 trillion rupiah from 517 trillion rupiah in the previous year. That was stated in a press conference related to government policy to encourage investment in the country in Jakarta on Thursday. Frankie added, although the increase in the investment plan in Indonesia is dominated by foreign capital investment, domestic investors also showed their commitment to increase investment up to 70.2%.
2015 terjadi kenaikan 39.6% year on year.
There is an increase up to 39.6% for the first half of 2015 compared to the first half of 2014. I believe this figure shows hope for investors to increase their investment in Indonesia. The 39.6% increase worth 712.9 trillion rupiah from 517 trillion rupiah last year. The most interesting thing is that our domestic investors have also shown their commitment to increase their investment up to 70.2%, but the foreign investors are the most aggressive towards Indonesian potentials.
Tetap berkomitmen untuk meningkatkan investasinya sebesar 17,2. PMA jauh lebih agresif lagi, lebih yakin lagi terhadap potensi di Indonesia.
Moreover, Frankie Sibarani mentioned the 5 biggest countries with the highest investment plan in Indonesia are the People's Republic of China, with $10.7 billion, British Virgin Islands with $4.9 billion, Malaysia with $3.6 billion, Singapore $3.2 billion, and Japan with $2.3 billion. As for the domestic investor, the largest contributor of the investment plan are the housing industry area and cafe, as you say, office, non-metallic mineral industry, basic chemical industries, goods, chemicals and pharmaceuticals, food industry and transport, storage and communication. The last item, Indonesia will be the host of the Asia-Pacific Regional Meeting on Peacekeeping, which will take place in Jakarta on July 27 until 28, 2015. Director of International Security and Disarmament of the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Andi Rahmianto, to media the Minister of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Tuesday said, one of the goals of the Asia-Pacific Regional Meeting on Peacekeeping in Indonesia is to meet the demand for many countries to the United Nations peacekeeping forces, which today still face multidimensional challenges.
Rencana penyelenggaraan regional meeting on peacekeeping.
The regional meeting on peacekeeping on July 27th, 28th next week is motivated by the increase of demand to many countries to contribute their troops in various peacekeeping missions under the UN flag known as the Blue Helmet. But on the other hand, we also know that over the last two decades, the UN peacekeeping missions are facing the multidimensional challenges, complex challenges, as we see there are conflicts in some regions, especially in Africa.
Multidimensional menghadapi tantangan yang cukup kompleks. Bagaimana kita lihat masih terjadi berbagai konflik di beberapa kawasan, khususnya di kawasan Afrika.
According to Andi Rahmianto, due to more complex and multidimensional challenges as well as the increasing demand and global need of the UN peacekeeping mission, for the Asia-Pacific Regional Meeting on Peacekeeping 2015, Indonesian government will take the theme Peacekeeping Complex Strategies, Enhancing Capabilities and Responses of the UN Peacekeeping Operations. The result of the Asia-Pacific Regional Meeting on Peacekeeping will be delivered in Peacekeeping Summit on the sidelines of the 17th UN General Assembly in New York in September 2015, which will be co-chaired by President Barack Obama along with the leaders of the host countries of other regional meetings, namely the Netherlands, Uruguay, Ethiopia, and Indonesia. Since 1957, Indonesia has played an active role in the UN peacekeeping missions and has contributed 2,735 personnel to 10 UN peace missions in various regions. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled Allegation of Corruption Scandal and the Role of Mahathir in Malaysia. Last year, Malaysia experienced two plane incidents that made Malaysian airline lose public trust. But this year, the neighboring countries is stricken by allegation of high-level corruption scandal. Anyhow, Malaysian Prime Minister Najib Tun Razak is suspected of committing so. The allegation was outspoken by Prime Minister mentor, namely former Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad, who encourages to carry out criminal investigation. Mahathir participated in the movement to topple down Najib and urged Najib to resign. Otherwise, Prime Minister Najib Tun Razak persistently said that he did not break the law. Najib criticized Mahathir conspiring with outsiders to overthrow him. All of this was caused when Najib established a firm, One Malaysian Development Berhad, One MBD, in 2009. Najib served as the chairman of the board of trustees of this company. The company is a source of criticism by Mahathir, who thinks Najib to be unable to manage the company. According to Mahathir, Najib has made some mistakes, namely borrowing a lot of money with high interest and buying power plant with higher price than market price. Another criticism revolves around the way the company, OneMDB, deemed not transparent in business. Now the company has debt amounting to $11 billion. The debt is a burden to ringgit currency and financial transaction with foreign parties that are known. Mahathir's criticism was only one to attack to Najib. Another attack is from the daily publication, The Wall Street Journal, which was reporting the flow of funds worth hundreds of million of dollars from the accounts of the company want MDD to personal bank accounts belonging to Najib. The newspaper reported that the fund worth about $700 million transferred to a government agency to a number of banks and companies, and eventually the money was transferred to Najib's bank account. Najib, who was criticized by many parties, strongly denied the allegation and regarded it as a sabotage in his political career. Malaysian Foreign Minister Anifa Amon expressed the issue to embarrass the country after Mahathir received the interview of the U.S. Daily New York Times. Mahathir has denied through his official blog that the state is embarrassed by Najib and one MDB. Although he does not serve as an official in Malaysia, Mahathir Mohamad still has a strong influence. He also used to influence Malaysian political situation when Malaysia was under the leadership of Ahmad Badawi, who eventually resigned. Currently, there is speculation in Malaysia that the prospective Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin is prepared to occupy the seat of Prime Minister. Muhyiddin has opportunity to challenge the position of President of UMNO Party. This means that he has opportunity to become Prime Minister. The question is, who will be nominated by Mahathir if Najib finally resigns? The opposition party, Democratic Action Party, DAP, and People's Justice Party, PKR, support Parliament to hold an emergency meeting session to discuss the scandal. Other circles even demand Najib to be non-activated first until the investigation is completed. Singaporean Financial Authority, MAST, that does not want its country to be smudged with this scandal, urged Singaporean police to freeze two bank accounts related to Want MBD. How the end of this scandal is whether Najib is saved from the accusation of corruption or whether he should leave the position of Prime Minister. We will see and wait for the outcome of the official investigation carried out in Malaysia. Listener, that was commentary today read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start on July 24, 1911, the discovery of the lost city of Inca Machu Picchu ethnic. Machu Picchu is a 15th century Inca site located 2,430 meters above sea level. It is located in the Cusco region, Urubamba province, Machu Picchu district in Peru. It is situated on a mountain ridge above the Sacred Valley, which is 80 kilometers northwest of Cusco and through which the Urubamba River flows. Most archaeologists believe that Machu Picchu was built as an estate for the Inca Emperor Pachacuti. Often mistakenly referred to as the Lost City of the Incas, it is the most familiar icon of Inca civilization. The Incas built the estate around 1450 but abandoned it a century later at the time of the Spanish conquest. Although known locally, it was not known to the Spanish during the colonial period and remained unknown to the outside world before being brought to international attention On July 24, 1911, by the American historian Hiram Bingham. Since then, Machu Picchu has become the largest tourist attraction in South America. Most of the outlying buildings have been reconstructed in order to give tourists a better idea of what the structures originally looked like. By 1976, 30% of Machu Picchu had been restored. The restoration work continues to this day. On July 24, 1948, Mussolini is arrested. Initiation of the fascist government has finally forced Mussolini to resign and give authority to the Marshal Badoglio to form a new government. Then Mussolini was captured on July 24, 1943 and transferred to the island of Ponza, Italy. It was taken by the militia and military since Italy pressed in the World War II, which began with the landing of Allied troops in Sicily. Previously, Rome was in cooperative with Hitler and formed Axis during the World War II. Then Italy signed an armistice with the Allies on September 3, 1943. And we end today's segment of Today in History with a historical information. On July 24, 2001, President Abdurrahman Wahid issued decree on dissolution of parliament. After he was installed as president in the People's Consultative Assembly MPR session in October 1999, once resolving of new order, the leadership period of President Abdurrahman Wahid or Gus Dur was completed with unpopular and controversial policies and fragile cabinet. Finally, amid the heat of political situation between executive and legislative, Abdurrahman Wahid issued a presidential decree of dissolution of parliament on July 24, 2001, responding his political opponents. However, just on that day, MPR held special session and to impeach Gus Dur from his post of president. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
Listener, welcome to Focus. Today's edition entitled Interreligious Figures and the Government Meet to Discuss Tolikara Incident. Dear listener, interfaith leaders and government officials in a number of areas met to address incidents that occurred in Tolikara, Papua. In the meeting, held at the meeting room of Military Command 8 Wirabuana, South Sulawesi on Tuesday, July 21st, agreed that the diversity of Indonesian society is a gift that must be maintained. During the meeting, leader of IMIM Boarding School or IMIM Boarding School Makassar, Ustadz Asnawi Marjuni said, in the Quran stated that God Almighty created men consisted of different tribes. He invites to know each other, to establish communication because many things can be explained through communication. Pastor Untung Wijaya, representing Indonesia Church Unity of Western South Sulawesi, expected peace and harmony remain to be maintained. Previously, on Monday night, July 20th, tens of activists and interfaith figures in Jombang, East Java, also met and discussed about the unity of Indonesian people. During the meeting, they said Indonesians could toughly stand due to their variety of diversity. Meanwhile, most of victims of incident of last Friday in Tolikara, who previously evacuated to the military district headquarters in Tolikara, are now going back to their homes. Religious figure in Tolikara Ali Mukhtar said there are 200 people who are remaining evacuated. They are those the owners of stalls and houses burned on July 17th tragedy. Indonesian Home Affairs Minister Cahyo Kumolo said, the small point of the incident should be immediately overcome. He invites all sides to rebuild the spirit of tolerance and mutual cooperation. Meanwhile, Commander of Chandrawasi Military District Command 17, Major General Fransen Siahaan said, to keep the security in Tolikara, which currently has been normal, there will be opened security posts in a number of locations. This was aimed at anticipating unknown people from outside Tolikara, which potentially disturbed safety in the region. Listener, that was Focus.
Listener, we present you headlines of national newspapers published today, Friday, July 24, 2015. I'm Rahmawati. We start from Kompas newspaper, which in its headline writes some regions lack of candidates. Until now, in some regions which will hold simultaneous regional elections or pilkada on December 9, 2015, there is only one candidate pair that is ready to register. The phenomenon may postpone pilkada in the regions until 2017. Commissioner of the General Elections Commission or KPU, Ferry Kurnia Rizkiansyah, said in Jakarta on Thursday, political parties are responsible for avoiding sole candidate in the upcoming pilkada. Joint parties or endorsing parties are expected that to be ready to prepare their candidates. Moving on to Media Indonesia, which still writes the preparation of simultaneous pilkada 2015, namely the government embraces empty box. The potential of sole candidate in the simultaneous regional elections 2015 encourages the government to consider the use of empty box, so that pilkada runs according to agenda and candidate rights. After limited meeting in Jakarta on Thursday, Minister of Law and Human Rights Yasona Lauli said the potential of sole candidates in some regions may affect the simultaneous pilkada stages. Meanwhile, Republika writes two Tolikara suspects arrested. Papua Regional Police caught two people allegedly implicated in an incident which ended up in the burned mosque in Karuba, Tolikara, Papua. The two people are named suspects because they allegedly attacked the place where people prayed Eid in Tolikara on Friday, July 17. We end the headlines with Business Indonesia, which writes consumption goods imported tariff increases. The government increases consumption goods imported tariff to help competing power of domestic products, although it can disturb the effort to return people's competing power. Import duties implemented in food products, beauty tools, clothes, bags, fridge, motorcycles, and cars. Listener, that's headline of some national newspapers published today, Friday, July 24, 2015.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo scheduled to visit Kupang, East Nusa Tenggara, NTT Province on Friday afternoon. Indonesian government's angling for greater investment in the country's maritime sector from Singapore, its biggest source of FDI, as President Joko Widodo prepares to visit the city-state next week. President Joko Widodo has expressed hope that all political parties will contribute towards ensuring the success of the simultaneous regional head election on December 9th. Indonesian rupiah year-long fluctuating exchange value against US dollar is still normal, and the central bank can anticipate it. This was stated by Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economy Sofian Jalil. Indonesian government has vowed to slow the rupiah slide against the US dollar, saying recent volatility was a common thing and this dismissing any significant impacts on Indonesia's economy. Forest fires have continued to happen in Jambi province, with NOAA satellite detecting 22 hotspots on Thursday. Two hotspots had been detected in state forests in West Tanjung Jabung and Tebu Regencies. This was stated by Jambi Forest Office Head Irmansa Rahman. Head of the Indonesian Investment Coordinating Board, Frankie Sibrani, submitted that investment plans in Indonesia, both from foreign and domestic investors, increased by 39.6% for the first half of 2015. Indonesia will be the host of the Asia-Pacific Regional Meeting on Peacekeeping, which will take place in Jakarta on July 27 until 28, 2015. Director of International Security and Disarmament of the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Andi Rakmianto, to media, the Minister of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Tuesday said one of the goals of the Asia-Pacific Regional Meeting on Peacekeeping in Indonesia is to meet the demand from many countries to the United Nations Peacekeeping Forces, which will today still face multidimensional challenges. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I invite you to travel to the Bangka Belitung province. So stay tuned. Listener, off the east coast of Sumatra, flanked by the Gaspar Strait and the Strait of Karimata, there is a charming island with beautiful beaches and breathtaking scenery. It is Belitung Island or Belitung. It was told in a legend that the island of Belitung was from a rock called Baginda Stone. The legend tells about the piece of a Bali island that drifted up to Sumatra, so that the name is derived from the word Bali terpotong, which later pronounced Belitung. The stone piece was thought to be the origin of Belitung Island, still exists today, and can be found during a visit to one of the charming beaches in the Pacific Islands, Penyabung Beach. Penyambung Beach is located in the Batu Lubang Hamlet, Padang Kandis Village, Membalong Sub-District, Belitung. To reach Penyambung Beach, you have to travel overland as far as 70 kilometers from Tanjung Pandan, the capital of Belitung Regency. Belitung itself can be reached by plane from Jakarta with a travel time of about 45 minutes. During the trip to the Penyambung Beach, you will be presented with a view of local fruit plantation and oil palm plantations. Prior to Penyambung Beach, you will be amazed when you see two large pieces of granite and towering birds through the dense of the forest. This stone was named Batu Baginda or Baginda Stone as the origin of the Belitung Island. Listener, Penyambung Beach has a cluster of granite rocks which are very much scattered around the beach. This large granite connects with other granite stones and juts into the sea that resembles a natural breakwater. The existence of a cluster of large granite rocks that extends and connects makes this beach's name Penyambung. Penyambung root means connected. In addition to large rocks, here you can see sea pandanus trees that grow line up neatly along the edge of this beach. The views of the islands in the middle of the sea provide beautiful panorama of this beach. One of the islands can be seen from here is Belatuk Island, that is in an elongated shape and covered by green trees. Penyambung Beach has white sand, its waves are clear and clean, so it is safe and comfortable to swim. In addition to swimming, you can try to climb the granite and see the open sea. It will be a fun activity on this beach. The facility at this beach is quite complete. There is a tarlatan arranged, a prayer room made of boards. And if you are hungry, you do not need to worry, because there are simple stalls selling snacks, coconut milk, and seafood around the beach. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Pantai Penyambung. We will meet again with other interesting topic and see you. Bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello VOI listener wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me Rahma. Today's edition presents you the story behind the moving capital city of Indonesia from Jakarta to Yogyakarta in 1946. Since the era of colonialism, Jakarta, which was known as Batavia, has become the capital city of Indonesia. However, after Indonesia gaining independence from any kind of colonialism, the capital city of Indonesia was moved to Yogyakarta Autonomous Region. The moving capital city of Indonesia was triggered by situation in Jakarta, which was not conducive to become the government center. At that time, Allied troops have landed, while Japanese soldiers still stayed. Riot was getting tense following political conflict between figures in Indonesia. Some plots of murder threatened Indonesian top officials. The conflict disturbed the governance. With the initiative and offer from the first Yogyakarta governor, Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX, the central government was allowed to move by sending couriers on January 2, 1946. The offer was warmly welcomed by the government in Jakarta. On January 4, 1946, the Indonesian president and vice president moved to Yogyakarta. The capital moving managed to run the administration. The offer of the 9th Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono reflected courage and patriotism. The moving capital to Yogyakarta was not without reason. Deputy Minister of Information Ali Sastroamidjojo told Radio Republik Indonesia that there were two reasons to move the capital city to Yogyakarta. First, security in Jakarta as the capital city of Indonesia was threatened. Secondly, Yogyakarta was the readiest region to accept the independence of Indonesia from the sides of politics, economy, and security. Besides, it was Yogyakarta that announced the independence of Indonesia through Gede Kauman Mosque after being proclaimed in Jakarta. It obviously showed that Yogyakarta was able to give legitimacy and contribution to the development of the Indonesian government. The central leaders saw that the administration and leadership in Yogyakarta was very strong because it was a kingdom under the strong duumvirate. The moving capital city from Jakarta to Yogyakarta clearly proved the assurance of the central government on the commitment of Yogyakarta to Indonesia. For 3 years, Kraton Yogyakarta Palace and Puro Pakualaman supported the administration and the struggle of Indonesia. Well, VOI listener, that ends today's miscellany on the story behind the moving capital city of Indonesia to Yogyakarta. I'm Rahma, thanks for listening.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me Rahma in our regular segment Music Corner, which introduces you Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today we present you an Indonesian dangdut singer, Riza Umami. To begin the song, here is a song entitled Kau Tetap Misteri or You Remain Mystery. Happy listening.
Ketika ku dengarlah
Riza Umami was born in Jakarta, Indonesia, August 15, 1956. He was an Indonesian legendary dangdut singer in 1970 to 1990, who often became playback singer and performed duet with the king of dangdut, Roma Irama. Some senior dangdut singers like Maggie Zett have collaborated with him. His popular and legendary songs are Antara Teman dan Kasih, Jera, and Aduhai. He also sang cover songs from Indian films. Besides, he sang theme songs of sinetron or soap opera taken from radio drama broadcast in a private TV station in the mid of 90s, namely Mahkota Mayangkara and Kaca Benggala. Well, listener, before we move on, let's enjoy a song by Riza Umami entitled Tambatan Jiwa. Check this one out.
Thank you.
Listener, in 1983, Riza Umami started joining Soneta Group through an album as the film soundtrack of Pengorbanan. From here, Riza Umami began becoming popular among dangdut lovers in Indonesia. The success continued in the following soundtrack albums, including Cinta Kembar, Menggapai Matahari Dua, Tabir Biru, and Nada Nada Rindu. Now Riza Umami is no longer active in singing world. He is more active in religious and social affairs. Listener, to end the program, here are more songs by Riza Umami entitled Antara Teman dan Kekasih and Andai. Enjoy the songs and I'll see you in another edition of Music Corner.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.